sweet and precious faces in this place. Faces that I have known or have known me for longer than I dare want to express. Let's not talk about how old I am or how old anybody else is. But it is good to be in the house of the Lord and in His presence. In His presence. This is an awesome opportunity for me. I'm going to get on the keys here in just a second, Joe. You just keep doing your thing. But I can call him Joe because I'm Mama Jan. And I've known him before he was born. So I can call you Joe. And Caleb, dude, And you're Caleb. And y'all might call him Brother Schultz. He's Caleb. And there's Brother Mike and Sister Betsy. They're Mike and Bets. I'm just a home folk. But I am here to worship Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And with that, Brother Joe, do not go too far. Pray for those precious media gentlemen in the back because God loved them. I sent Sister Lexi a completely different song the other day. And I was in prayer yesterday. Hallelujah. And I began to sing this old, old, old choir song, Sister Betsy. To see the words, so you know where I'm going. Lord, I come to you today with a simple prayer to pray. In everything I do, my life, oh Lord, pray worship him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Oh, my sweet Jesus, you're worthy of all the praise. You're worthy of all the glory. You're worthy of all the honor. Let our lives be a pleasing savor unto you. If you'll stand for the reading of the word. It's a bit more lengthy than I would normally do for a message, but I've not been able to get away from this. Exodus chapter 30, verses 22 through 25, and then skipping down to verses 31 through 32. Moreover, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take thou also unto thee principal spices of pure myrrh, 500 shekels, and of sweet cinnamon, half so much, even 250 shekels, and of sweet calamus, 250 shekels, and of cassia, 500 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary, and of oil, olive, and hin. And thou shalt make it an oil of holy ointment, an ointment compound after the art of the apothecary. It shall be an holy anointing oil. Verse 31. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, This shall be an holy anointing oil unto me throughout your generations. Upon man's flesh shall it not be poured, neither shall you make any other like it. After the composition of it, it is holy, and it shall be holy unto you. Lord Jesus, I am just a vessel. I am just the mouthpiece, Father. You preach today. You know the needs of your people. You know exactly what needs to be said and what needs to be ministered unto. And so, Father, I pray you have your way. So if everybody would say in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Before I go any further, let me just say it is an amazing honor to stand in this pulpit. I received a text from my pastor, if you're wondering where in the world I came from, I go to Pastor Romine's church in Columbus. He is, yeah, thank you. Who did the woohoo? I thank you. I absolutely love my pastor. He is an amazing man. And I know y'all love yours, and you should, but I think mine's the best. And he texted me yesterday, and he said, I'm behind you 100%. And there is something precious about your pastor saying that they're behind you 100%. And so I come with my pastor's blessing, which is important, and so I give honor to him, but not only to my pastor. What an honor that your pastor would trust this crazy lady behind his pulpit. And you can tell him that I said that, Sister Lainey. I don't care. I would tell him to his face and he would know it. But what an honor to stand in this pulpit knowing that he asked me to be here when he was gone. And so I give your pastor honor. Pastor Biddle is an amazing man of God as well. He deserves that. Amen. In Scripture, anointing oil was used for many purposes, some of which were sanctification. In other words, the oil was used to set apart a person or an object as holy and dedicated unto the Lord. In other instances, the anointing oil was to proclaim God's favor. It was used to proclaim God's blessing or calling upon a person's life. Think King David. To use the anointing oil, it could be used also to consecrate holy items. In other words, when the temple was first created in the wilderness, the anointing oil was used to be poured upon every piece of furniture and every piece of cloth to set it apart
for the glory and the honor of the Lord. Anointing oil also was used for healing. I thought I heard something about healing from the King of Glory today. I thought I heard something about being set apart and being holy in the presence of the Lord. That comes from the anointing oil. The anointing oil was also used to prepare a body for burial. It was used to refresh the body. It was also used to consecrate weapons of war. Anointing oil. Anointing oil was used for pouring on the head of the high priest and his descendants to sprinkle upon the tabernacle and its furnishings to mark them as holy and set apart. They weren't just any old ordinary pieces of cloth on the tabernacle. They weren't just pieces of furniture made out of gopher wood covered in gold. They were set apart for a particular purpose. Y'all, I have come to you today to tell you, beyond anything, I must have the anointing. I must have the anointing of the Holy Ghost falling upon my life from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. I must have the anointing to stand here and preach the word. I must have the anointing when I get up in the morning, when I lay my head to rest on my bed. I must have the anointing. Anybody want the anointing of the Holy Ghost today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anointing signifies the presence of God coming down. Anybody remember some of that in some of our song service? You see me over there in that corner doing my little dances because I was going, woo, thank you, Jesus. I needed some confirmation. Hallelujah. It is about marking a space. It is about preparing a place that says, nothing else can touch this. This is just for your presence, Jesus. That's what anointing oil is all about. Remember when Jacob was going from his house because he caused all sorts of trouble and he was on his way to his uncle Laban, and somewhere in the middle of that, Jacob decided he needed to take a nap. And so he laid down on a pillow. I still ain't figured that one out, Brother Joe. How in the world can you get rest on a, I don't know. Give me feathers. Hallelujah. Give me some feathers. But somehow Jacob found rest on a rock. And as he was sleeping there, God gave him a vision of a staircase, angels descending and ascending up. And when Jacob woke up from that dream, he said, oh, this ain't just any ordinary place. This is the house of God. And what did he do? He took anointing oil and he poured it on the rock and said, this is Beth-El. This is God's house. It is a separate place, a sacred space. The anointing signifies a place of God's presence. Aaron the priest was anointed with oil when everybody had finished building the tabernacle. God caused Moses to say, get this oil together, the recipe that I mentioned a little bit earlier that we read in our passage. And somebody took that recipe and put it all together. And the Lord told Moses, you need to anoint Aaron. I got to tell you, in the Bible, they didn't do a little dab. We get by with just a little dab, Sister Lainey. We think, ooh, just put it on my head. Don't muss the hair. Don't mess with the clothes. I put this outfit together specifically for today. Do not mess with the clothes. No, that's not how they did it in the Old Testament. And I can guarantee that ain't how they did it in the New Testament. They took a horn of oil and they poured it on Aaron's head so that it didn't just cover a little dab. It went from the top of his head all the way down to the sole of his feet. Y'all, the anointing has got to touch every part of our body. I must have the anointing. I must be covered with the oil of the Holy Ghost. Aaron the priest was anointed. King Saul was anointed. King David, even before he became king, was anointed. But let me tell you today, I have come to proclaim Psalm 23:5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. When we are filled with the Holy Ghost, we have received the anointing of God. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation that should show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into this marvelous light. I must have the anointing. But I gotta tell it straight. I would not be a vessel of God if I did not tell you that the anointing is not just the feel good. I like that though. I like it when the anointing comes, when we feel the oil of the Holy Ghost flowing through the sanctuary. I watched. I hope you know what preciousness that you have in this place. I watched the freedom that you all have, that when the Spirit of God begins to move, ain't nothing holding you back. You just come to the altar. I need you, Jesus, right now. I ain't waiting till altar call. I ain't waiting until they give me a call to come. I'm just coming because I need you. So, some of y'all, when you came, you didn't know it. Maybe you didn't say it quite this way, but do you know that you were saying, I must have the anointing. Whatever the cost, whatever it may come, I must have the anointing. But there's a cost to the anointing. There's a cost. I began to study out the different parts and pieces and ingredients of the anointing. And here is what I found. The first ingredient that was mentioned was myrrh. If we were to gather it in today's weights, it would be 12 and a half pounds of myrrh. Myrrh is extracted from a thorny tree, either by natural breaks in the bark or by somebody intentionally cutting to allow the sap to flow. It forms a gummy substance, and the name myrrh means bitter because it has a bitter taste. However, it is considered a miracle drug. Anybody want a miracle drug? Hallelujah. According to Wikipedia, because Wikipedia is always right, myrrh gum has been claimed to reduce indigestion, ulcers, colds, cough, asthma, respiratory congestion, arthritis, and cancer. Bring me some myrrh. But here's the problem. Anointing might bring you healing, and oh, thank God it does. But it's going to come from some thorns. It's going to come from some thorny places that you're going to have to walk through. No wonder the psalmist said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. David knew what it was like to go through some thorny places in his life, but David was anointed. I must have the anointing, Brother Joe. I don't care what it costs me. I don't care if I got to walk through the deep waters of life. I must have the anointing. The next ingredient was cinnamon. That was a matter of 6.5 pounds. The cinnamon is cultivated by growing trees for 2 years. They don't do anything with the cinnamon trees. They let them alone for 2 years. Anybody ever feel like you just set out to just pasture, just looked over? Anybody ever felt that? I have. For 2 years, you didn't do anything with cinnamon. The third year, at the end of the second year, they would begin to cut the stem. They begin to cut things. Somebody in this place has felt things that have been cut away, and you have been asking God why. I'm about to give you your answer. When cinnamon is cut away, the next year, dozens of roots grow up in its place. The things that have been cut away have needed to be cut away because God needed to replace it and bring new growth. Do not despise the cutting. Do not despise the being set aside for a little bit of time. God is going to bring some new growth. He's going to bring some new life. You just hang in there. Some crushing's got to come, but I've got to have the anointing so I know new life is going to come, even though things have been crazy. You can take that to the bank. I don't know who that was for. The Lord, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, somebody praise the Lord. That was a word. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Those new growths needed to be cut and processed immediately. So that the cut stems are processed. They're processed by scraping off the outer bark because sometimes that outer stuff that has hindered us needs to be cut away. Sometimes it just needs to be cut away. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lexi, the cutting away has not been for naught, baby. It's not been for naught. Ooh, Jesus, I gotta behave. Depending upon the type of cinnamon that has been harvested, it can take a great deal of crushing to create powder from it. In fact, in ancient times, cinnamon was so highly prized, it was regarded as a gift only from monarchs. Ancient Egyptians used cinnamon as part of their embalming process. In Jesus' day, cinnamon could cost you up to over 4 years, 50 months of wages for less than a pound of cinnamon. Cinnamon was once more valuable than gold. Anointing will cost you something. There are those of you in this place that have been crying, God, I want to be anointed. I want to be used by you. I want you to move in my life. I want to win souls. I want to reach my family. I want to reach my neighborhood. I want to reach souls for the kingdom. I want to do a work for the kingdom. But y'all, it's going to cost you something. You can't just sit here. You got to go and do. You got to be willing to give it all to the Lord Jesus. If you're going to have the anointing, it's going to cost you something. But saints, I must have the anointing. Hallelujah. Will you say that with me? I must have the anointing. Oh, come on. Somebody say it like you really want it. I must have the anointing. Hallelujah. The next ingredient is calamus. 6.5 pounds. It wasn't native to the Israelites. It had to be imported, which made it extremely costly. The ingredients added a sweet, earthy scent to the anointing oil. It symbolizes grounding and the stabilizing presence of God in the believer's life. I don't know how you handle the stressors of life. All I know to do is say, Jesus! He is my grounding. He is my solid rock. He is the rock on which I stand. I've got to have that stabilizing presence so that when the storms of life are blowing, I have an anchor. I have an anchor. But can I tell you that as faithful as God is to us, and oh, Brother Mike, he is faithful. We've got to be faithful to him. We've got to be faithful in our prayer. We've got to be faithful in our fasting. I know that doesn't sound good. I don't like to fast either. I like my food, praise God. I can't wait to go out with Sister Lainey after church, hallelujah. But anointing is going to cost you something, which means we got to be faithful to God. We got to be faithful in prayer. We got to be faithful in fasting. We got to be faithful in reading the word. We must be faithful because he has been faithful to us. If you want anointing, you must have a consistent time and place of prayer. If you don't hear anything from this message, please hear the heart of this woman. Without prayer, we're nothing. Without spending time in the presence of God, baby, we're nothing. You can sing as beautiful as these precious ladies sang today, and they did awesome. And you can play as awesome as Brother Joe and on the keys. Oh my word, I'm just amazed at how God has blessed you. And you can play the drums amazing like Brother Caleb, but without prayer, it's nothing. We must be faithful. One of the last ingredients in the anointing oil is cassia. God called for 12 and a half pounds of cassia in the anointing oil. It originates from China and it's related to cinnamon. Therefore, it would have had to have been imported. The bark of the cassia tree is peeled or scraped from stems and branches and it's set aside to dry. It must be crushed to be used. Why do I get the feeling that there's been some crushing going on in this place? I don't know what has happened. I thank God Brother Bill didn't tell me any secrets. I know nothing. But what I do know is the crushing that you have felt has not been for nothing. I want to encourage some folks today. The brother said earlier that you might get some answers. I feel like I hope, I'm praying that I'm bringing some answers from the throne for you. Why has there been crushing? Why have I been set aside? Why has it been dry? Why does it seem like I can't get any further? Let me come to tell you, it's because God has an anointing on your life. And you gotta have the crushing times. You gotta have the difficult times. But I guarantee you, the anointing is worth the crushing. I must have the anointing. Anointing is not a natural blessing that comes in our human existence. It does bring crushing to our lives, but that crushing brings an aroma that is so pleasing to the Lord. Do you know when we are crushed, when we are bruised, the scripture says God doesn't despise. He doesn't despise the crushing. He doesn't despise the bruising. In fact, he welcomes it. Do you know why? Because that crushing brings the anointing of praise that comes from us that nothing else would bring into the presence of the Lord. I must have the anointing. There's one final ingredient to the anointing oil. If you haven't noticed, all the other ingredients come from crushing or stripping or drying. That's just not pleasant. I don't like those times. I don't like having to go through the barren deserts. Nobody in this place does. I can guarantee you that. Nobody enjoys those difficult times. But oh, the last ingredient is olive oil. It's the symbol of the Holy Ghost that begins to flow when we worship, when we praise, when we come into the presence of the Lord. It's blessing, it's anointing, it's power, it's healing, it's restoration. But some of you already know what I'm about to say. Brother Caleb, Even olives need to be crushed to bring forth the oil. Only when all of the crushing, all of the drying, all of the cutting, all of the feeling like you're discarded, when all of that, some, I don't know how God does it. Brother Mike, I ain't figured it out. If I figured it out, I'd tell you the secret. I don't know. What I do know is that somehow God takes the crushing and he takes the hurt and he takes the pain and it becomes this beautiful aroma of worship that God begins to move in our lives, so that when somebody that has been crushed and has been broken, but they have turned it to the Lord, there is something that flows from their spirit. And that is, saints, when the anointing breaks the yoke of the bondages of sin. That's when it gets good. That's when it gets awesome. That's when we can come into the presence of the Lord and say, though he slay me, yet will I worship him. Though he crush me, yet will I magnify him. Though he takes me down, I will lift him up, because I've got the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I've got the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Oh, can we worship the Lord just for a moment? Come on, let's worship him right now. He's worthy to be worshiped. Don't go quiet on me. We need to come into the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus, we love you. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Since oil is emblematic of the Holy Ghost, let me tell you one more thing about the anointing oil that I don't want to dare forget. The anointing oil isn't for our glory. It's not because we're good or we're pretty or we're handsome or we're talented. It's not because we got a lot of money or we don't have it. That's not what the anointing oil is about. You know what the anointing oil is about? God, I don't want anybody to see me. Let them see you. Sometimes, before a new year begins, we've got to get rid of the old us. Before we can step into anointing, sometimes God's got to strip some things away from us so that we can take our focus off of us and turn our eyes to him. Some of you may know this old chorus, and I'm so off of my notes. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Oh, sing that again. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Will you stand with me in the holy presence of the Lord? I know it's Sunday. It's the last Sunday of the month. We should be shouting. But y'all, we've got to come into the presence of the Lord before anything else happens, before you go into 2025, we've got to come into the presence of the Lord and say, I don't care what it costs me. Anoint me, because I must have the anointing. I don't care what the cost is, Jesus. I will follow you. I don't care what the pain may be. I will trust you. Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane in Matthew 26, verse 39, before going to the cross, he said, and it says, and he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Anybody willing to pay the price for the anointing? If you're willing, this altar is open. All I know is that God calls us to lay down our lives for His will. All I know is that you're not going to have a good 2025 if you bring this flesh into 2025 with you. You want a new year? Lay down your life. You want a new anointing? Lay down your life. You want to be a witness better than you've ever been a witness before? Lay down your life. Team begins to sing. Brother Joe, that sounds so good. This altar is open. How bad do you want the anointing? Are you willing to pay the price? Or do you feel like you've already paid the price? That's okay. Some of you have been paying a deep, deep price this year. God's got anointing for you. So if you feel like you've been paying the price, why not come and say, okay, I've paid it, Jesus, anoint me. Can we pray right now, oh God? Jesus, as you move in this place, you see the hearts, you see the desires of these precious saints, oh God. I pray that your anointing would flow like only you can do. This is yours in Jesus' name.